Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by Shorten Associates, legal recruiters in Louisiana and Texas. And by Wyndham Garden Lafayette.
From Cafe Vermilionville in Lafayette, we're out to lunch with creative business consultant Aileen Bennett. It's business, Acadiana style.
Hi, I'm Aileen Bennett. Welcome to Out to Lunch. We can all quote lines from the movies, going all the way back to, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, and we're not in Kansas anymore. These types of movie lines have become famous, not because they're especially poetic pieces of writing or examples of extraordinary acting, but because they succinctly tell us something about ourselves. Show me the money. You can't handle the truth. I'll be back. Build it and they will come. The last one is from the movie Field of Dreams. What the character actually says in the movie is, if you build it, they will come. This line resonates with us because it's all about faith. Faith in ourselves, in our own courage to follow our dreams, and faith in our fellow humans that others will recognize our courage and affirm it by buying into our dream. This is the exact opposite of how we're taught in business school to launch a business. But passion-driven businesses can be just as successful as the more traditional, highly planned business venture. My guests on Out to Lunch today are both evidence of this. In 2013, Todd Buto wanted to escape the rat race in Los Angeles. He wanted his daughter to grow up knowing her family, and he wanted to spend time with his parents, who weren't getting any younger. So Todd abandoned his dreams of being an actor in Hollywood and moved back to Lafayette. Right. Todd's wife, Rena, is a Japanese-American. Ironically, it's turned out to be a Japanese culture that has fueled Todd's dreams since they moved back here. Todd is co-owner and marketing manager of the Japanese restaurant Izumi Ramen in Lafayette. He's also the marketing manager of the Hawaiian-inspired restaurant Poke Go in Lafayette, and he's the co-owner of Poke Go in Lake Charles. Todd, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you. Wow, what an introduction. That was amazing.
You have to live up to all of that now.
Yes. Wow, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Way back in 2001, Mark Falgu came back home from traveling the world and decided to open the kind of guest house in Lafayette that he would like to stay at if he was a traveler here. That's how the Blue Moon Guest House was born. Because all travelers here want to hear music, Mark gave them that too, in the form of the Blue Moon Saloon. It turned out that the Blue Moon was a great place for travelers to meet locals, because locals made the Blue Moon one of the most popular places in Lafayette to go and hear music. So Mark gave the locals another, bigger venue, Warehouse 535. And in 2018, Mark came up with another idea. This one doesn't involve a piece of real estate. It's the Solo Songwriters Festival. From its early success, it looks like Mark's music booking skills and the years he spent as a board member of Festival International have paid off. Mark Falgu, welcome back to Out to Lunch.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Eileen. It's great to be here.
Todd, when you were out in Los Angeles building your career as an actor,
Yes. You
had a number of jobs along the way, including waiting tables and spinning records as a DJ. Now that you're back home in a climate that's less frenetic, and you came home specifically to make the most of this more relaxed lifestyle, but you're co-owning two restaurants and running three restaurants in total. Just to recap, you co-own Izumi Ramen in Lafayette and Poke Go in Lake Charles, and you're the marketing manager of Poke Go in Lafayette. Most people would be happy if they came home and could open and run one successful restaurant. Is there some reason you're involved in three restaurants?
Luck? I don't know. Maybe it. You know how things just happen to end up... I never even actually thought I'd be into restaurant business, but, you know, I end up partnering up with this guy named Andy Sahandi. And
you can't just end up. How did it happen?
Okay, so I started working with him at a restaurant. When I first got out here, I was almost like starting over, right? So I became a server at one of his restaurants. It used to be the Rodizio Grill. He was a GM there. And I just happened to mention that I was a marketing manager also. And so it wasn't too long before he said, you know what, he brought me on as a marketing manager there. And then that's where you get into one thing led to another. I started marketing for him at the Rodizio. And then when he decided to open up Poke Go and he brought that to my attention, he asked me to come along with him then. So that's what I did. I went along with Poke Go, and one thing led to another. We started with Poke Go, and then there was the other Poke Go on Johnston, and then there was Homa, and then there's Izumi, and there you go. It's just one thing led to another.
So if Hollywood called tomorrow, would you go back and be an actor?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, Andy, I love you, but you know what? Nope. But, you know, I'm still acting out here. I do theater up in the Franklin Tesh Theater. So I still do what I love. I love performing.
Mark, the Blue Moon Saloon has become part of the fabric of Lafayette. It's a place where people like to meet, where they know and they can hear great music. Warehouse 535 is a different kind of meeting place, but it's an entertainment venue. It's based on the same fundamental business model. The Solo Songwriters Festival seems to be a horse of a different stripe. What do you see is the need that a Songwriters Festival is filling in this community, and what's the business model for it?
Well, you know, between the Blue Moon and the Warehouse, I think they're kind of two distinct business models. You know, my wife and I, Nicole, started the Warehouse 535 about 3 years ago, which was an extension from the Blue Moon. And we thought about, hey, you know, if we could have a little bit bigger venue, a space that we could offer a few different types of events.
And indoors as well.
And indoors, and also have the outdoor festival ground. So it was an idea that we came and it was going to be kind of an extension of the Blue Moon. After you're in business for a little while, like the Blue Moon started off just as a hostel, then it grew into a music venue and a saloon, and then we've kind of expanded from there. The Warehouse has evolved also. We've kind of gotten more into the private event business. You know, I never thought I'd be in the wedding business, but we did over 50 weddings there last year. And the business model shift it in the sense that it's tough to sell tickets to concerts these days in Lafayette, especially when you do what we do at the Blue Moon and have music 4 or 5 days a week. And doing that for 18 years, that's a lot of shows that we have there. So one of the things we thought that maybe could help spark that was to create a way for our local songwriters to enhance their craft. And it all starts with, it starts with the song. So we had the idea of coming up with a songwriter festival and then partnered up with one of our associates with a big publishing house in Los Angeles, BMG, Worldwide Publishing, and they had the idea of bringing in a music workshop on the front side of the festival. So you start off with a small idea, you want to expand on it, and like Todd says, one thing leads to the next, and the next thing you know, you wonder kind of how do we get to where we are today, you know?
So it's definitely a different kind of songwriting festival. There are performances every night of the songs that were written that day.
What we do is we bring in, it's like going to camp, which is kind of interesting, you know, and this is going to be, it's an annual event. Last year was our first year, so we had this idea of bringing folks together and kind of putting local professionals with professionals who do this for a living and then also the aspiring writers, up-and-comers. So
they don't have to sit there by themselves and write a song, they join with other people.
They join with other people, and we kind of get
them
to meet.
Cool.
We get them to meet in the lobby of the Juliet Hotel at 9:30 in the morning, and we do a little brief introduction and say, take a look at the whiteboard, find your group, introduce yourself to them, we'll get in a van, we'll drop you off at a writing space, and we'll pick you up in about 7 hours, and then when you get back, we want you to show us what you came up with.
Wow, start from the ground up, start writing the song, and then you get just build it, and then they all get together with their instruments and then create it right then and there.
Exactly. Wow. So what we do is at the end of each day, we do a song share. So we have groups of 13 to 14. And after the first day of last year, I sat there and I was going, wow, that first song was amazing. And then they just kept building. It's amazing the creativity that is out there. So it's fun to watch from the inception of the idea all the way to the actual performance.
Well, I know being in L.A., I was in a band. Also, that's one of the few things I did and managed a band. And to be able to create a song with a group of people, and then you see at the end of the day, sometimes it takes weeks, months, years to create a song. To do that in a day, that's pretty incredible. That's awesome.
And although we can talk about it from this side, like it was a success last year, and it's going to be an even bigger success every year, the same for you, Todd. You brought in new things here. You brought in poke, which a lot of people had never tried.
Right.
And ramen, which we knew about but didn't have that many places to eat it. How did you, or did you know they were going to be a success, or you just wanted to bring something different?
Well, you know, when I first got back to Louisiana, you noticed a lot of things that, you know, other cities, the big cities, they don't have yet, you know. And we saw a growing trend of health and, you know, people wanting to get something to go that's lighter, that's quicker, but at the same time, it tastes good. That's one thing in South Louisiana, you know. You can have, I think it was Salad Works before. There's other restaurants before where we were that didn't quite work. I don't know. I think we just have to make sure the taste is still there also. So, and one of the things was we realized this poke. If there wasn't any poke restaurants. And it was one of the fastest growing type of fast casual restaurants in the United States. And it's not here. So I think that's be a good.
For the people that don't know what poke is and don't eat it as much as I do, can you explain what poke is?
Yeah, poke is, well, first of all, it's a Hawaiian dish. It's an ancient Hawaiian dish that goes back for centuries. Poke is basically, poke means to be chopped cubed fish. You can get it in a bowl or a roll. Start out with like maybe ahi tuna or salmon, as you know. And you could put it over a bed of rice. You get vegetables, fruits as your mix-ins, and you put a sauce on top of that. And then you have a little crunch and then a little seasoning on top of that. So it's like kind of like a sushi in a bowl. You can have it like that. Or I know in South Louisiana we realize that not a lot of people don't eat sushi, so we have chicken, you can have shrimp, fried shrimp, that kind of stuff. But so that's basically what it is right there.
Just so you know, we live on the other side of town from the original Poke Go,
okay.
And I had to make that drive many a time because my kids are like, let's
really?
Go, we need to go eat some
poke,
you know.
Great.
And then when you open the second location down on Johnson Street right there, it's close to us.
So, saying that, yeah.
Yeah, so it made it a little bit more convenient, but man, congrats
fantastic.
To y'all.
Great, thank you. Yeah.
So Todd, you worked in restaurants as a server, but you seem to very quickly switch to running restaurants. How did you know how to run a restaurant?
Well, I mean, when I was a kid, I actually I kind of grew up in a restaurant. We had the Boiling Point a long time ago before we sold it.
Oh, wow.
I was like 5 years old, 6 years old. So my dad was always kind of in and out of the restaurant business. And then from there, we had a seafood business in Supermo Point, Louisiana, hard shell, soft shell, crab business. So I've been around the food business all my life. And then when I went to L.A., you know, I was in restaurants, bars, you know, so you're around it, you know, since I was 5 years old. So I kind of had a sense of, of the way it works, you know, in the kitchen. My mom always cooks. So as far as cooking stuff, I was always there cooking, gumbo, crawfish étouffée, all that kind of stuff. And then once I got to being here, it was kind of a natural thing. It didn't really feel like, you know, how to do this, what's going on. It just was kind of like, I've already been here, done that. And now it's just a matter of making money at doing it, you know.
So did you start from what isn't here, or did you start from what is delicious?
Yeah, so I think it was, you know, what I liked when we were in L.A., what's really good out there, and I see everyone doing it. I think that could, and it's good, it's delicious. I think a little bit of both. I fell in love with ramen after I fell in love with my wife, which was the Japanese ramen. You know, it was one of those.
I'm glad
things.
It was that way around.
Yes. So it was kind of hand in hand. So once she introduced me to ramen, and then, you know, it was just a kind of natural thing. Wow, you know what, with poke, people love poke. I think people would love. I mean, because I love ramen because, you know, there's so many things you can do with it.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Aileen Bennett. I'm talking with Todd Buto from Poke Go and Izumi Ramen and Mark Falgu from Blue Moon Saloon and Warehouse 535. Mark, two questions for you. How has music changed and the music business changed since you've been involved in the last 18 years?
Well, I guess music is naturally evolving, you know, that's part of what it does. It has to be moving forward to kind of keep it fresh.
Do you try
keep
and
it
stay
real.
Up with the trends or just go for the traditional?
I mean, I'm very fortunate because my wife is a lot younger than I am, so she's coming from a different generation, and we have three kids that are 10, 12, and 13. So they're into music. So we have a really, we kind of learn from each other, you know. So when they're in the car with me, we're listening to one thing. When they're in the car with their mom, they're listening to something else. You know, they have their own musical taste. So I think music will always progress. Locally, I've seen it kind of changed a lot in the sense that it used to be a focal point where we were open 5 days a week and we had a steady crowd that came in. Now, I think one of the things is with the different ideas, different forms of media where people can get all the entertainment they need in the palm of their hand, that they don't feel the need to actually go out and go into a venue to experience the music. And I think that's changed a little bit. So we're constantly thinking of ways that we can go ahead and enhance that experience and create an experience as opposed to just it being about a concert. So it's education in there too.
And there were more venues in Lafayette recently.
There are a lot more venues. Everybody wants to be in the music business, and it's it's like the restaurant business. There's a lot that goes into the back of the house that no one sees. They come in and they eat the great food and walk out and go, man, what a cool business to be in, but you know what it is, you know, when you're out there taking orders in the morning and cleaning out the grease trap at the end of the day, makes for a long haul.
Absolutely.
So is it harder to get people out of their houses to both of your locations these days?
Well, I mean, fortunately for maybe the restaurant business and unfortunately for the music club venue, I mean, I guess you can get your food waitered into someone's house. I mean,
yeah, that's right. I mean, for now you can absolutely with waiter, you can on a rainy day, you just put out there, hey guys, don't forget, you can waiter it in.
And we can't do that with musicians
yet.
We can't quite
bring them the whole band and experience into your house, even though a lot of people are starting to do house concerts. But
really?
one of the things you mentioned about, you know, trying to make money and being a musician, is one of the things that we're focusing on at Solo. We have a music business conference, a professional development conference, where we're bringing in music publishers, where we're bringing in music supervisors, where we're showing these artists different ways to monetize their careers, so where you don't have to load up the van, play a gig, and sell CDs out of your trunk, that there are other ways to generate revenue in the business.
Is Solo unique in that, or is that happening at songwriting festivals all over?
Well, I think that what makes Solo unique is a lot of songwriting festivals do have conference or professional development aspects to it, but they do have workshop portions, but to have the combination of all three in one spot to where we can come in and actually use it to this time as a creative time. So basically we're bringing people together. And one of the most special nights of Solo is the Friday night, what we call Solo Sessions, where we pick the best songs that were created in Lafayette over those last 4 days, and we do a world premiere. So people are experiencing something for the very first time, and these songs didn't exist 4 days prior, and all that was created here. So we're working on the creative side of things, where a lot of songwriting festivals bring in artists, and they're performing their songs and doing writers' rounds and song shares, but it's songs that they've brought with them to the...
And you do bring in a few artists to work with the people. Who have you got this year?
Well, we're bringing in, that's a good question.
I heard Nick Lowe.
Nick Lowe is kicking off our event on Wednesday night. And then also we have Jim Lauderdale is coming in from Nashville. Mary Gauthier is coming in from Nashville. We have writers Jamie Commons coming in from the UK. Louise Goffin coming in from Los Angeles. So we have folks coming in from around the world, literally, to kind of create with our local artists.
Is the Songwriters Festival a money-making venture? And if so, how do you make money?
So there's the... I get that question from my wife a lot.
You too. I get questions about money-making all the time from my wife. It's weird how they got the same question.
Well, you know, I think that we're fortunate in the sense that what we try to do is to do something that we really love and to try to make money off of doing it, you know. And in the meantime, if we can do that and also provide a service to the community, provide a service to the artists, to where they're learning, they can become more successful, the community can become more successful as a music community, and then we can kind of afford to send our kids to school and buy them clothes, and I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Mark and Todd, this is part of the show that we call The Interview. Whether you've been on a job interview lately or you've been on the other side of the desk and had to hire people, there's been an interesting trend in the job interview. It consists of asking job applicants questions that test their ability to think through a problem. I have a list of 20 of these strange interview questions in front of me.
20?
I'm going to ask you to pick one number between 1 and 20. I'll ask you one of these questions and just see what you make of it. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I'll take number 4.
Number 4. Oh, seemingly very interesting. Easy question. What did you have for breakfast?
I didn't eat breakfast this morning. I've probably for the past 4 or 5 months, I've been kind of doing this intermittent fasting where I don't eat till noon during the day, and then I won't eat past 8 o'clock. So, so that's kind of a trend that I'm on right now.
Do you often do these different diet fads, or is this?
Well, I'm pretty much a kind of eat what I want when I want type.
So why intermittent fasting?
You know, I just happened to be reading one day about this quarterback, Alex Smith, who, you know, he said he was getting towards the back end of his career, and he had an off season. He was trying to see if he would make the team, so he took this idea of he read about intermittent fasting, and he was going to go ahead and see if that kind of helped him build his energy and his concentration, his focus. And he came back in after the off season, and the teammates noticed a difference there, you know. And
so, is it working for you?
It if I stick to it, it does work. I mean, I kind of gave it a little break during the holidays, Christmas holidays, just because it's too hard with the food we have here to give it up. But you know, I have young kids, and I have to be able to kind of stay mobile. I want to be able to move, and I want to be able to do that. So I thought that I'm always up for a challenge. You know, I'd like to try to keep myself, you know.
Because running two music venues and the songwriters contest is not enough.
But I'd like to be able to fit in my pants, you know. So that's the other
that's
part also,
right?
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Todd, choose a number between 1 and 20.
Okay, I'll go with 20.
What was the last gift you gave someone?
It would have to be my wife.
That's a good start.
Yes. It was a bag that it was for our anniversary. She was scrolling online and she saw that there was is it Keller Williams, I believe? I'm not even sure, but it was Keller Williams bag that she was scrolling online. That was,
I think Keller Williams are realtors.
Real estate.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not right, is it?
But it was a beautiful bag.
This goes to show you how good I am with anniversary gifts.
Hey, but I'll tell you this, as ironic as it sounds, it's true. Yesterday was my anniversary, and I gave my wife a bag for our anniversary. So
what was the name of that bag?
It.
Do you remember the name of that bag? See what I mean? See, I was making things up, and then you caught me. But it was a bag. She's going to kill me, too. It was a bag, and it was originally it was really expensive, but it was on sale. And she was like, hey, you know what? If you want to get me something for anniversary, I know it's a little early. Look, this is on sale, and it's really awesome. And I'm thinking, wow, that's perfect, because that way I don't, whenever the anniversary actually does come, I'm good. I'm golden, and I don't even have to think about anything.
Let me tell you, you're not good. You will have to, especially after this, you will have to buy another surprise gift.
I got to do another whole surprise just because of this interview right here.
So are you normally good with giving gifts?
I would say, yeah. You know, I give too many gifts, especially to my kids. Every time I go to, the store, I'll go to Walgreens and I got to pick up medicine. I'm always seeing something. I got a 7-year-old and then I got a 1.5-year-old.
And are the kids growing up in your restaurants the way that you grew up?
Because, you know, especially with Izumi, we live really, you know, behind, you know, Izumi. So they're there all the time. They'll pop in and I'll, you know, they're always coming over. I'll go pick up, while I'm at the restaurant, I'll take a break and go pick up Nola. I'll actually walk over there and I'll pick her up from the bus. And then we'll come back to the restaurant. My partner, Andy, he has a little girl almost the same age, so they play there. And, of course, they're always bothering customers, and I have to tell them to be quiet. But you know how that goes. So they're all around, they're always there, you know.
If one day all of your chefs called in sick, could you replace them? Can you cook everything that's served in your restaurants? Well, obviously, one's raw, so you can make that
one. Yeah, I can go the poke go, yes. Izumi, I would say almost everything, pretty much almost.
Mark, let me ask you the same question. If a band shows up and their guitarist is sick or their drummer's absent, could you stand in?
I cannot. That is that is a definite I cannot. I get asked that question a lot often. They said, like, so do you play, do you write? And I'm like, well, no, I mean, I've written a couple songs just out of something to do, something fun to do, and I can play a couple chords on the guitar, but no, I'm not. I could bartend if I needed to, but I'm more of the kind of the vision person, if you will. You know, I kind of figure out what I like and then try to go ahead and present that to like-minded folks. And fortunately for us, that's been able to work at the Blue Moon, to where, you know, had this idea, this crazy idea of bringing people into hanging out at the in a backyard of a house in Freetown, which was not a very
You take,
you know,
Louisiana and you open an open-air music venue. On paper, that seems like the craziest thing in the world. And yet people are happy to go dripping with sweat, and it's still a great time.
It seems to be a trend that I have. On paper, most of the stuff that I do looks like the craziest ideas, you know, and it's a challenge. But, it makes it exciting, you know.
Here in Acadiana, we're somewhat and happily isolated from the rest of the world. One of the reasons we're happy in our semi-isolation is that we don't need the rest of the world for a lot of what makes our life enjoyable. We create our own culture, our own food, our own music. But there's no doubt that when people leave here and come back, the influences they bring with them from the outside world are most welcome. Mark and Todd, you're both having a material influence on our lives here in Lafayette, in Lake Charles, and beyond. Thank you both for enriching Acadiana, and thank you.
Having us. Appreciate you. Thank you.
My guests on Out to Lunch today have been Todd Buto, Marketing Manager of Poke Go in Lafayette and co-owner and Marketing Manager of Poke Go in Lake Charles, and Izumi Ramen in Lafayette, and Mark Falgu, owner of the Blue Moon Saloon, Warehouse 535, and the founder of Solo, Songwriters Festival. And you can find out more about Todd and Mark's multiple enterprises by following the links on our websites, krvs.org and itsacadiana.com. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Morrell. Our researchers are Anne Christian and Ali Coates. If you want to know what we all look like, you can find photos from this show on our website, itsacadiana.com, and on our It's Acadiana Facebook page. These photos were taken by Lucius A. Fontenot. You can find out more about Lucius at lafphoto.com. You can get this show and past shows as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify. And you can find all of our podcasts at itsacadiana.com. You can also keep up with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You'll find those links on our website, itsacadiana.com. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsacadiana.com and KRVS 88.7 FM. I'm Aileen Bennett. Thanks for joining me today. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the lunch table for more business Acadiana style on Out to Lunch.
Out to Lunch Acadiana is recorded live over lunch at Cafe Vermilionville in Lafayette. Cafe Vermilionville is open Monday to Friday for lunch and six nights a week for dinner, with a courtyard that sets the scene for fine Louisiana cuisine. The Out to Lunch Acadiana theme music, Encore Monsieur Nice Guy, is written by Mitchell Foreman and performed by Mitchell Foreman and Andre Michaud. Out to Lunch Acadiana business consultants are Pete Prados from Innovate Acadiana and Destin Ortego from The Opportunity Machine. Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, joneswalker.com. And by Shorten Associates, legal recruiters in Louisiana and Texas. Support for Out to Lunch Acadiana comes from the Wyndham Garden Lafayette, located off Pinhook near Cali's Saloon. Wyndham Garden Lafayette is a pet and family-friendly hotel with reception space for large and intimate events, free parking, free Wi-Fi, and a free shuttle within 3 miles that includes the airport and downtown restaurants.
Support for KRVS comes from University View Academy, a Louisiana-based K-12 online public charter school, providing flexibility for student families' lifestyle needs and an environment which accommodates various learning styles. University View Academy is enrolling now at universityview.academy.
For 2 hours of true word sound power, classic heavyweight Rasta reggae radio, it's Jamon here on KRVS. Cecil here, chairing the Churchill Gathering every Sunday night from 9 to 11 or Saturday mornings 1 to 3 a.m. Heavyweight sound and lifted spirits guaranteed. Jamon here on KRVS, Lafayette Lake Charles.
It's old, oh yeah, but it's still relevant. Things change, but not our love of gold. Music gold, for sure, and the vault is full on the Old Gold Show. Classic and time-tested hits. There you sit, all by yourself. Take that nostalgic trip with us on Thursdays at noon on 88.7 KRVS. I'm Lee Kleinpeter.
Next time on Hearts of Space, subtle exotic sounds from Vietnam, Cambodia, and the heart of East Asia. Music is by Greyhawk. David Parsons, Peter Vahey, Richard Horowitz, and more. I'm Stephen Hill, a program called Ancestral Voices 2 on the next Hearts of Space.
Coming up later tonight at 11 here on KRVS.
You are listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette Lake Charles, online at krvs.org.